Hey, creeps, it's your girl, Kelly. Before we start today's show, we have to talk to you about an incredible new podcast from Forever Dog called The Worst with Greta Titelman. From the worst first dates to the worst family vacations to the worst karaoke nights, host Greta Titelman has a seemingly endless amount of hilarious and heartbreaking life stories that she just has to tell you about. And so do her guests. Together, Greta and her guests talk Tinder threesomes, public bathroom nightmares, bee attacks, awkward internships, and so, so much more, reliving their worst memories beat by beat for your listening pleasure. So subscribe to The Worst wherever you find podcasts and enjoy the cathartic rush of horrible things happening to funny people. New episodes every Monday. Hey, Tea Creeps listeners. Are you an urban explorer, crime head, history buff, ghost hunter, Angelino, murderino, podcastadero, or just a plain old weirdo who loves a fun podcast? Then you're going to love Ghost Town, a podcast about the world's most haunted, abandoned, and mysterious places. Hosted by comedians Jason Horton and Rebecca Lieb, Ghost Town is a hilarious mix of true crime, urban exploration, and a classic creepy ride. So buckle up. The Los Feliz Murder House? Ghost Town was there. The abandoned Hawthorne Plaza Mall. Ghost Town was there. The hotel room where Janis Joplin died. Ghost Town was there. The Wonderland Murders House. You guessed it. Ghost Town was there. Don't wait for another NoHo bank heist. Check out what the AV Club called compelling and everyone else fun as hell. Subscribe to Ghost Town today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday.
Forever.
Now heaven spoke to her, and hell. This week on the podcast, Christopher Pike's The Last Vampire 6, Creatures of Forever.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And this is it.
This is it.
Last of the Last Vampire series, I guess, before it turns into Thirst.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And what an ending.
Yeah, right?
I cried at the end.
I did too.
I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I didn't see the cover of this because I got it from Open Library.
Oh.
So I didn't see it until you handed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I did laugh out loud at the cover because... Here's the thing. Most of these covers are really, 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 really cool.
Yes.
This, I would say, is one of the weaker Pike covers and one of the weaker Last Vampire covers.
I don't like 5 either.
Can't remember 5.
She's like touching a grave or something.
Oh, yeah.
And like her hair is being blown back.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah.
Golden or something.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
It's just the
her outfit.
It's like they stopped wanting to really
sell the books.
Hire. I guess by extension that, but that would be subconscious. Stopped wanting to, or weren't willing to pay for true artistry.
Honestly, I think you and I could draw that.
Yes, that's the problem.
Like if you and I just like took a really long time and like worked on it, we could draw that.
Not so much her face in the sky.
Okay, not that, but the back of her with the outfit and the hands.
Yeah. Oh, you can see a little bit of buttock.
Yeah.
Just
that's
some
why I
shading.
Laughed at that because it means she's wearing like a lycra bodysuit.
Yeah. This outfit makes no sense. I wouldn't have even thought about it.
And it also like
also she is standing next to, which I also never truly look like this thing like jumps into my eyeballs and I'm like, don't care. And then I just stopped looking. Yeah. But she's standing next to a gravestone that in like old English lettering says The Last Vampire.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
Really?
That's way to like, give gothic. Away the end of the book.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I guess what they're maybe they're like, oh, this will be like a cool play on like, oh, it's the end of the series.
Yeah, it's possible.
But then also it's her grave. What's the snake? What was the snake? Someone was a snake.
Well, that's the thing. No one.
No one was the snake. And then is that her?
That's her.
Is that her from the future or her now?
That's her in the space.
Like space version.
That's
space her.
That's space Sita.
Space Sita.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Throughout this book, 60% of the time I didn't know what was happening, but I still liked it. Like I was like, oh, I don't really get what this is, but I'm sure it'll resolve. And then it doesn't really, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, it's just like cool to be along for the ride.
Yeah.
But I also did not get a lot of it.
It resolved enough for me to, I felt like it was enough of a resolution. The thing that really got me is her fight with fake Lord Landelf.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this fight? What is this circle?
I did not get that.
What is
the physics? I didn't.
Yeah. Where are they?
Yeah, no, I did not.
Why did this happen so quickly? Also, like the whole thing is that this time in her life scared her the most, but like didn't seem like the most traumatic experience of hers that we had yet read.
No.
And kind of Arturo seemed more upsetting because she had to kill what's his face before.
Oh, well, then Arturo's worse. Oh,
no.
Or was this after?
After.
I think it's after. I would say, okay.
Before.
My one concession to this.
Before?
It's unknown. My one concession to this is maybe it's because it was like the first like big scary thing she had to do. It's like Agatha Christie's novels, right? When we were talking about that, where it's like, it's the first of the things, so you remember it. And then you look back after all of the evolution and you're like, oh, I guess it wasn't that scary.
Yeah. I guess it's just supposed to be that we're just supposed to take her at her word that she was the most scared, even right. though
Believe
the
survivors.
Situation seemed yeah. like the situation with Suzama seemed more like Ori seemed more terrifying to me. The whole thing where he like buries her and leaves her for ants to eat her eyeballs.
Yeah. And just like losing Suzama because Suzama was like the love of her life.
Yeah.
Like that seemed much more traumatic. Like this with like Dante and like.
And like Yaksha seemed way more
scary,
traumatic and scary.
Yeah.
And what you doing on my jacket? Cat's
standing on a jacket. Please don't sit on it. She's going to sit on it. Sit. Please don't sit on it.
That's fine.
Sit.
Just don't scratch at it.
She won't. She doesn't scratch those.
Okay. Watch her scratch. She'll just scratch.
Her favorite thing is to sit on.
Oh, animals love sitting on a new thing.
Yeah. No, they love to sit on the thing that's not the ground.
Yes.
Like if you put a piece of paper on the ground, they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
This is for sitting.
This? Hello.
mama. Take me out to dinner first, why don't you? Yeah. No.
Yeah. It just didn't feel. Let me see. Okay, so read the back.
Let's read the back, and then let's fill in a couple of the blanks.
Yeah.
The last vampire stood at the end of the age. Elisa has fought every battle against evil, against hate, and even against death itself. Now she nears the end of her incredibly long life, and another unexpected force emerges to destroy her, or perhaps to save her. But this force, it is unlike anything she has experienced before. It seems to emerge from another place, another world, where demons are potential saviors and the future of mankind is already wrapped in the ash of a forsaken hell. This force, these strange beings, present Elisa with hard choices. To save herself or to save others and risk losing even her own soul. These beings push Elisa into a place where even the perfect fear to tread. That's a clever little line that they did at the end. It doesn't really mean much, but it is like, I feel like it's one of those, like, they wrote that line.
It sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay. I have questions, actually, because this brought that I was like, maybe Lindsay can help me understand. So is Space Sita one? She's not one of the people that was like trying to get her to join them, right?
No, she actually is space with the future people.
So then, okay, what about, so the girl at the beginning who was like able to
Heidi with the ray gun?
With the ray gun.
That is one of my favorite lines. It's like, wow, I think Heidi has a ray gun.
Yeah. She's funny in this.
Yeah.
She's really funny in this.
Maybe at her funniest.
She might be at her funniest.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Heidi and then later that like MLM guy. The dude that's like at that conference.
Uh-huh.
The like Tony Robbins type guy.
Whoever.
Yeah. So those two, are they?
Yeah.
They're also.
They're creatures.
They're creatures.
They're the demon creatures.
So the thing I was having confusion with was the whole thing where they're like, there's like good energy. And then there's like, wait, what was that thing that they were like, when they were like, oh, the, what was that event that they were saying was going to happen?
The
like,
harvest.
The harvest. And that there's a negative harvest.
Will take place in 2021 well, or is happening now.
TikTok.
I was like, this is the timeline we're stuck in.
Yeah.
This we're is in the worst timeline. Trump timeline, which I know ordinarily I would like think that was super lame that people keep saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does genuinely feel like this is not right.
Yeah.
So I couldn't stop thinking that when I read this book.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, that's about now.
Yeah.
Because she says in about 25 years.
Wow. That
25 years from 1996 is 2021.
Okay. So that'll be.
So we're experiencing the beginnings of the harvest.
So it's up to us to like stop the negative harvest.
Yeah. So we need to be.
So everyone needs to vote.
Positive.
You guys need to vote.
There's a harvest.
Are you positive or negative?
Hashtag 2020 harvest.
That sounds really scary. That sounds like a doomsday cult type thing.
Yeah.
2020 harvest.
Which is what this is.
It is. So, okay. So the creatures are the.
It's like the harvest is basically. What is when Christians get sucked up?
Oh, the because you don't know it now. I don't know it. What is it? The someone's screaming it right now. They're like, it's the this.
Someone's always screaming the right.
Okay, hold on. It's not reckoning. It's like and like all the
I almost had it.
You if you're good, you get it.
Yes.
And then if you're bad, we're stuck here.
It's. It's right there.
It's the
No.
Okay, hold on. It's okay.
It's. I have to think of this. I refuse to look it
no,
up.
No, I know it has
if
to
I don't
come
think
naturally.
Of it on my own, I will be very upset. It's
if you think of it, don't say it. Yeah, don't say it.
It's
and then
like
I have to crank
ascension.
It. I know. It's do you have it in your head?
No.
Okay.
That's as close as I got.
Okay. It's the.
No.
I keep saying reckoning in my head. It's not that.
It's.
How long can we keep this going? 20 minutes?
yeah. I'm willing to work on this as long as it takes.
Oh my God.
I refuse to look this up. It's the.
Okay, doomsday cult, angels,
apocalypse, Armageddon.
Armageddon
you
happens. If you're good,
you go to heaven.
You do that.
You're
are
a part of the. They're looking for people to
harvest.
Be you're a part of the Christian harvest.
And then if you're
they're searching for like improvisers and comedians to be part of a new like $100,000 pyramid, so we would be. Utterly failing right now.
Okay. The
it's like ascension.
Yeah.
It's
oh my God. Is this it? All the other people have been oh my God. It was supposed to happen in 2006, remember? Or 2000 I mean it's supposed to happen every 5 years.
Yeah.
I keep like putting
I'm getting
my fist
close
into
to
the
giving
air.
Up yeah, and I, looking it up, but I don't want to. Okay. Christians will be taken.
Yeah, they're going to go to heaven.
It's like does it start with a C?
I think
it's like,
it starts with
it's
an
like
R.
A calling.
It probably doesn't start with R, but I think it does.
No, cuz I started to say something like redemption too.
Yeah, it's like and it's not reap,
it's reverb.
the reverb
the great reverbing the you oh fuck
okay
you will be this and mm-hmm. others will go to hell
yeah well we're gonna stay and then it's gonna be apocalypse and then that's
yes.
hell I can't wait
I feel like it's CR
like Christ
the crucible
what is it oh my God okay
I'm so
like you rise up, you go to heaven.
Okay, it's
heaven.
Armageddon.
Yeah,
the apocalypse.
Yeah,
it's the blank.
And you can also get blank. You can get like
yeah, you get beamed up.
You get beamed up. Basically, you get beamed up and you go to heaven.
It's like that the Seth Rogen movie.
Yes.
Everybody gets...
Everybody gets that. And then the people left are like people
just
in that
dealing
movie.
With demons on Earth.
Okay.
I am...
You know, if there was a God, we would know this word. We're not. We're not going to be
saved.
That. Yeah, we're
saved.
People,
Christians are hoping for this to happen.
Yes. They want to be like go.
Zionism is part of it.
I feel like Mike is just going to open the door and scream at us. Scream the word.
It's.
Oh my God. This is crazy.
I absolutely know this term.
Is something wrong? Is something wrong? No.
The
rejoice, redemption, Christ, Jesus, going.
The
christening. The.
You're beamed up.
You're beamed up. You're beamed up and you go.
God harvests you.
God like picks you and is like, you have been blank.
You're
the blank. Okay. It's
the I was at
it. Okay,
the ha
happening.
Ha.
You think it's
ha?
Ha? I don't think it's ha. I think it's either kra or ra.
Kra, ra, maybe ha.
Or like maybe duh? Or no.
K. The happening.
The happening. The happening.
The redemption harvest.
Okay. So you're beamed up.
That's the only thing I can think of. Keep going back to that. You're like,
okay, let's say I'm one of those like doomsday Christians. Oh, I can't wait to be
saved. It's saved and it's called the
and then you get to go.
And then you make a big gesture with your hand as I am making.
And then there's a beam.
And you're beamed.
You're beamed into heaven.
You're Are we gonna have to look this up?
Okay.
I don't want
one
to.
Person will, okay, I'll look it up. And then,
oh, no. Wait. I don't want to give up on the dream yet.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay, let's think about this another way.
Okay.
Because we're hitting a wall on this side.
Yes.
Okay. How can we get to the other side of the wall?
We're looking for the back door now.
Looking for the back door. Where's the key? There's a hide a key somewhere.
You're judged.
You're judged.
It's judgment day.
It's judgment day.
And on judgment day, this takes place.
Yes. Those that are worthy get...
Chosen in some way. So on judgment day.
Yes.
So here's the deal. Judgment day happens.
Yes.
Four horsemen of the apocalypse come.
Fire and brimstone. Very bad.
It is the second coming.
Is it? Wait, does Jesus come back
Jesus
and he's like, this
wraps
sucks?
You up in a bundle.
Okay. Maybe judgment we're revealing day. How much we don't know about this. So
which
Jesus comes.
With.
Jesus
I'm not
is like,
Christian.
This sucks. Right? He's like, you guys
happen.
Are bad. Or he doesn't even come.
When the second coming happens, that
he
brings
takes
about,
those people with him, right?
That brings about the apocalypse. The four horsemen show up. Judgment day.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment day.
Judgment day. You're
God
judged.
Goes, time to beam up.
Yes. He's like, you guys get to
you
come.
You are chosen on judgment day. The christening.
No!
I know. I'm trying to... I'm just throwing words out until the right one comes.
Okay.
The creation... The cresting, the reckoning. There is a reckoning on Judgment Day. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God beams you up, and it is called the blank.
It was supposed to happen in 2006. It was supposed to happen again, I think, in 2012.
That's a Mayan thing.
Oh, but then wasn't
but maybe
there? Wasn't there? Yeah,
agree.
Wasn't there some like doomsday
culty?
There's
thing.
A guy. There's, yeah, a, there's guy, a guy. Right? He's like bearded. He's a white man. He has white hair. He rides bicycles a lot. He
He rides bicycles a lot? Question mark.
The return
home to God. I almost said it. There's like an emptiness in my soul now.
It like the last spark of it went out inside of me.
On judgment day, you get sucked up by God.
Yes.
Judgment day.
No. God! Rejoice? What if it is just like christening or something like that?
I know we haven't thought of it.
I would know it if I heard it the second I hear it.
Okay. The song.
Yeah.
Come on, get happy.
Come on, get happy.
I guess she just said it's Judgment Day.
Okay. Do you know any God songs?
Judgment Day. Sing hallelujah. Come on, get happy. No, 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 no. Who cares away?
Come on.
Come on, get happy. Get ready for the Judgment Day. She may not say it in the song.
I don't think she says it. I think it's like kind of like a scary, sad word. Okay.
The Lamb of God.
That's how all priests sing.
Hallelujah. The movies are back, baby. And if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint, it's the name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Hey everybody, Kelly here. Wanted to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, LendingClub.com. Oh, I have debt. What if I just ended it right there? Period. We all do, right? I mean, if you went to college, you took out loans, you have credit cards, you live your life as a person trying to survive in this world, odds are you're probably carrying revolving debt. And that means you're not paying off your card every month, and you could be paying thousands in interest every year that you don't have to. Enter Lending Club. With Lending Club, you can consolidate your debt or pay off credit cards with one fixed monthly payment. Since 2007, Lending Club has helped millions of people regain control of their finances with affordable fixed-rate personal loans. No trips to a bank, no high-interest credit cards. You just got to go to LendingClub.com, tell them a little bit about yourself and how much you want to borrow. Pick the terms that are right for you, and if you're approved, your loan is automatically deposited into your bank account in as little as a few days. LendingClub is the number one peer-to-peer lending platform with over $35 billion in loans issued. All you got to do to get on board is go to LendingClub.com/teencreeps. You can check your rate in minutes and borrow up to $40,000. That's LendingClub.com/teencreeps. LendingClub.com/teencreeps. All loans made by WebBank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And now, back to the show.
No.
We've been going for 20 minutes. I do not care. This is our podcast.
Okay.
We do what we want. If you like it, you like it. And that's all there is to it. You can jump forward for 20 minutes.
They just keep pressing skip ahead.
Yeah. This is who we are. I will not hide my light under a bushel basket.
Is that a Jesus thing?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You know what? Well, if it was, I think it would help us figure it out. Okay.
The
coming. No. The
Second coming. Judgment Day. Judgment Day. The blank.
I seriously feel like opening the door and screaming out onto the street. Like, what is it when if you're a good Christian, God beams you up. And then if you're bad, you stay here. And then this is hell because there's fire in the streets.
Yeah, it's what called is it called when you're saved?
You're saved.
What is it called when you're saved on Judgment Day?
Okay.
Should we ask Micah?
Yeah.
Micah. I'd rather ask Micah than Google. What is it called on Judgment Day when Christians get saved by God and pulled up into heaven? What is it called when on Judgment Day, four horsemen of the apocalypse, Christians get saved by God into heaven and then we're all stuck on hell on earth?
It's the...
It's like the...
Rapture?
Rapture!
You get raptured!
Oh. I'm a Jew. Why am I telling you this?
I don't know, but it took us 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Rapture. Oh, my God. It was never going to come. This is the thing. It was going to within the first 10 minutes.
We were two in our heads.
It was rapture. Rapture. Yeah, when it's like, oh, they get raptured. I welcome the rapture. Oh, my God.
Wow. What a ride. What a ride.
Wow.
Thank you for going on this journey with us. Rapture, the transporting of believers to heaven at the second coming of Christ.
You know what? I am bummed they did not use the word beam, because I do think you get beamed.
You do get beamed. I mean, transporting, that's beaming.
Yeah. I just think beaming is more specific.
Transport a believer from earth to heaven at the second coming of Christ. Yep.
Oh my
God. And verb are basically the same thing. Jesus Christ. That was so upsetting.
Yeah. No, that was, I can't believe it.
Wow. So the situation,
with us, guys.
Yeah, you guys are just, you're heroes.
Yeah.
You are now worthy of the rapture.
Yeah. I mean, you're all going to be for raptured.
Sure. We're stuck here. We put you through that, but you braved it much as Job braved the trials that God set before him.
Job do trials?
Yeah. He had to suffer. And to see if he would renounce God.
Oh, really? Like, and he was like, I'm not going to do it.
It was a bet between God and Satan.
And Job was put in the middle. Here's the thing. Not fair.
He's testing him.
God's not cool.
Got a real stick up his butt.
Is this a New Testament God or an Old Testament God?
Well, this is Old Testament, I believe.
Old Testament God is angrier, but New Testament God is more passive aggressive.
Yeah. As I understand it, Jesus came to say like, No, Old Testament had it wrong. God is not vengeful. God is love.
And then he's like, I'll prove that by dying for you.
I'm here to tell you that. I believe it so strongly. I'm willing to die to bring you this knowledge.
And then it turned into,
perverted.
Yeah, I'm like, he died for our sins.
Yeah. I believe in Jesus.
Original sin.
I believe he existed to tell us that the Old Testament was too harsh.
Mm-hmm. And listen, I believe that he believed.
And then some people decided to make it out like he was a mythical being, son of God.
Yeah. I think he probably existed.
Yeah.
As a man, I think he was browner than people.
Which
think
this
he is.
Book I liked.
Oh, yeah.
Because Baby John, aka New Jesus, aka New Krishna, aka New that other one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. I can't remember that one.
Mm-mm.
He is Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
and Sita thinks to herself, she wonders how the world will respond to a brown savior.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget what she says after that.
She's just brown messiah. I wonder how the world's going to... I took a picture of that too.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Oh, here we go. How will the world react, I wonder, Jesus. To a brown messiah?
Yeah.
Of course, no race would satisfy everyone.
That's what came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, Shankara, and Krishna.
Mm.
Those are the three. And now John.
Who
I think should have a Spanish name.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Oh well.
Her name's Paula.
Her name is Paula. But
AKA
isn't
Susama.
Paula like Paula? Like, isn't that kind
Paula?
Of a,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
John.
Jose.
Jose. Should be Jose. Oh well. Okay. So the creatures that are like the Heidi and the like MLM guy,
mm-hmm.
they are
They're here to make sure like as few people get raptured as possible.
So they want to make sure that more people are damned, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
They want to tip the scales toward negative energy.
So they are different from the people that Space Sita is with.
Yeah, the people from the future? Space Sita is with are just people from the future.
I see. Okay.
And well, they, Gaia is some sort of alien.
Yes. Yeah. So then, but they're all from the future, right?
Yes.
So then
they're all from a hell on earth future.
Right. So they're like, we need to change this.
Imbalanced, yeah.
And they're like, the only way that we can change this is, guess what, Sita of the past, you were the one who fucked this up because you gave didn't your do blood.
It on
that.
You did it on accident. Yeah. So the reveal is that in her time with Lord Landulf,
yeah,
she thought that she refused. She thought she won and didn't give him any of her blood, when in fact she did give it of her own free will, but she didn't know it, and she doesn't know how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks she was like hypnotized or something, so she has to go back in time and do it over.
Mm-hmm. So she does go back in time, and the thing I thought was cool was that like her memory of like the future starts to kind of fade,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was like, I always like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
In like time travel stuff.
I like that it kind of goes in and out too.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh. Yeah. She gets into the palace and she's like, why am I looking for a faucet? What is that about? Oh, right. Future bathrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. So she goes into this like basically castle-ish place.
She's met this sad, sad man named Dante who has leprosy. Is it Lord or Duke? I feel like he keeps calling him Duke.
He does keep calling him Duke. He's like, my Duke.
Yeah, and he's a castrati.
Castrati. I said castrato?
Castrati. Maybe castrato. He was castrated by like straight up the Pope.
Yeah, because the Pope was like, I like your voice.
And she hypnotizes him, convinces him to take her to Lord Landulf, because she's just like, well, he's bad, so I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah.
But also she's future Sita, so now she's going because she knows she has to.
Mm-hmm.
And
she also doesn't have any, so like at the beginning of the book, she's like crazy powerful. Because now she's had Kalima's blood and Yaksha's blood. So she's like,
and a little touch of and baby John's blood.
A splish.
Mm-hmm. A little splish.
And then she's like,
you already said Kalika.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Oh, I said Kalima. That's why. Because she's like named after Kalima.
Same diff.
But she has Kalika's blood. So she's like super powerful. And then she goes back in time. And of course, she doesn't have like any of those powers. Like,
damn.
She's like, oh man, I can't really read minds. I can only like influence people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole version of the Medusa story that Dante tells Sita before they go to the castle. Were you trying to work out what the real meaning was before she got there?
Yeah.
I was like racking my brain.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't remember.
And I didn't. Well, here's the thing. I've never read this book, so I didn't know that Dante, the twist.
Yeah. Is the real Lord Landulf. And the way he gets her blood is because she voluntarily heals his leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't come about from like true leprosy. It came about from like, it was like a physical toll of his evil magic.
Yeah, it was like necrosis as a side effect of like doing magic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's Sita talking about why she's so afraid of Landulf.
Mm-hmm.
Find the page. Turn to page 44 in your textbooks.
Pause really quick.
So this is when she's still talking to Dr. Stoon, you calling him?
I was calling him the MLM guy.
MLM guy. He says, he did more than touch you. He bled you, used you, and then twisted your mind so that you didn't know. But don't you remember now, Sita, as you swam through the waves away from his castle, swam to what you thought was freedom? Even the ocean water could not wash off the contamination you felt then. Yet you thought you had won, defeated him, just as you think you will defeat us now. I cannot stop shaking. The images his words invoke, I cannot bear to see them in my suddenly shattered mind. Landulf and his sexual magic, satanic practice that used terror and pain for fuel. The human sacrifices, bodies split open with dirty knives, and worst of all, the spirits that would appear at his bidding, vicious creatures from an astral hell buried beneath unheeded cries. From the Temple of Eryx, at which the priestess of antiquity had once guarded the Oracle of Venus in southwest Sicily, he sent forth these unclean spirits and dominated the minds and hearts of men and women throughout southern Europe. Oh, here's the thing where I was like, as the author, I think Christopher Pike needed to make it clear that, like, this bias against Muslims was simply against the invasion and not actual Muslim.
I agree.
But anyway,
and also I'll that, like, it. Or that, like, referring to them as Muslims, as like the Muslims, was because most of these places were theocracies, in a sense.
Yeah.
And so it was like you would talk about like the Christians, the Muslims, and that. But like to only refer to the Muslims as the Muslims and not anybody else as any religion and made it sound yucky.
Yes. And also, it's like everybody was invading everybody.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make Muslims more,
because it's spelled warmongers.
M-O-S-L-E-M-S, which is slightly, which is different than how we spell, I guess, the...
I've seen that spelling.
Spell now?
I've seen that spelling before.
Maybe it's just an outdated spelling.
I think it is an older spelling. Here, I'm looking it up. Yeah, it's an older spelling. Interesting. Okay. Although such terms were not necessarily intended to be pejorative. Oh my God.
Just threw the book at Kelly.
The book just flew. Oh, I see. Okay. So until at least the mid 1960s, many English language writers used the word Mohammedans. It was not intended to be pejorative, but Muslims, argued that the terms are offensive because they allegedly imply that Muslims worship Muhammad rather than God. Interesting.
That's a good point.
So yeah, Muslim being spelled M-O-S is just older. That's it.
Yeah. It uses it as though, I guess it just feels worse than, because you would say like invading Christians, like, actually that's the issue. Nobody ever really says invading Christians. They're just like, oh, they were on the Crusades.
Like
they were like invading a region to try to take it.
And like a lot of shit that
religious
occurred,
reasons.
A lot of shit that occurred during the Crusades was majorly fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't to say like that, you know, I don't want anybody to get up in arms and be like, well, other religions did fucked up things in the name of religion too. I'm like, yeah, like a lot of,
like all of them.
All
it was a bad period of history.
Like all like forcible religious wars are very bad. Very, very bad. And people do really fucked up things in the name of religion.
Yeah, the Knights Templar.
Oh, the Knights Templar.
Do-do-do. It's a Catholic military order recognized in 1139, blah, blah, blah. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Favored charity, became a favored charity throughout Christendom. Skilled fighting units of the Crusades. Closely tied to the Crusades. When the Holy Land was lost, support for the order faded. Yeah, so they were like, they were trying to fucking take control over.
So I'm looking up the Crusades right now. And I'm sure that a lot of you guys already know this, but so obviously the most commonly known crusades, which I think are the ones that we're talking about in this book, are Eastern Mediterranean crusades that were trying to recover Holy Land from Muslim rule. But it's also used to discuss other church-sanctioned military campaigns, including suppression of paganism and heresy, resolution of conflict among rival Roman Catholic groups, or political or territorial advantage. I'm playing Civilization 6 right now. So I just started playing Civ. I've never played that game before. Have you ever played this game?
I've never heard of them.
Okay.
Well, Civilization, I have.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Civ. Civilization. That's what I've been playing.
Oh, gotcha.
But I've been playing Civilization 6. And right now there's like this one dude that like hates me because I'm not religious enough.
Yeah.
Like he keeps being like, your godless land will fall. And I realized it's good that I don't run a country, because once, so he like denounces me, he's like, fuck you, you're not religious enough. I was like, oh, well, I'll just kill him and all of his people. Like, instantly I was like, oh, I'll just kill all of them. Like,
oh, I am of this time.
Yeah. I was like, I'll just take all their stuff then. I don't know. I was like, hey, this is horrifying.
I came here to be cool and you're not being cool, so I'm going to kill you.
Because at first I was like, I'm chill, just doing my own thing. I wasn't invading anybody. I was just like working on myself. I was just trying to like get, you
I
know.
Was just being, I was doing me.
I was doing me. And then he literally, I have never even talked to him. He just comes up to me and is like, you're not religious enough. And I was like, well, then you have to die. So it was very crazy. I do recommend playing that game. It's very fun.
So yeah, Knights Templar, with its clear mission and ample resources, the order grew rapidly. Templars were often the advance shock troops in key battles of the Crusades, as the heavily armored knights on their war horses would set out to charge at the enemy. One of their most famous victories was in 1177 during the Battle of Montgisard, where some 500 Templar knights helped several thousand infantry to defeat Saladin's army of more than 26,000 soldiers. So it's like, we were all, everybody was invading. So anyway, I'm about to read this sentence, which I feel could have been addressed better. Instead, it's like, Lord, all right, I'm going to read the sentence first. I don't know. He sent forth these unclean spirits and dominated the minds and hearts of men and women throughout Southern Europe, inviting the hordes of invading Muslims, showing them the weaknesses in the Christian world's defenses. Here's where it was. Here's where I like had to put the book down for a second and go, oh boy. Weaknesses in the Christian world's defenses, and so betraying his own race, Landulf had changed the course of history in the 9th century. And so he had changed my life, putting a stain on it that more than 10 centuries had not totally erased.
Wait, so how is he? So wait, he was originally on what side? Muslims or Christians?
Christians.
Then he betrayed his own race.
He is white.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was really a word for it. He is Christian.
And then he
like
lets the Muslims
invited
come.
The hordes of invading Muslims.
Here's the thing.
And betrayed his race.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Also, well,
bad
I also,
phrasing.
For me, I don't really
betrayed
like
his
the
country.
Word
fine.
Yeah.
Bad phrasing.
I feel like the term hordes also has like a connotation that usually
it's dehumanizing.
It's dehumanizing. And it's also like you don't really hear it when you're talking about, like, for example, maybe people have used this phrase and I'm revealing my own inner bias about that word, but I don't think like any I've ever heard anyone say like, oh, the hordes of Christian soldiers for like, for example, for the Crusades or for the Knights Templar.
I feel like it doesn't get applied
but like
to Anglo-Saxon.
Exactly. Or like, would you say hordes of Vikings? I don't think so.
Nah, man.
Like, there's like a barbarism associated with hordes.
Yeah, I think Trump has been using it in association with immigrants.
Yes.
Like hordes of immigrants. It implies that you're like not even human.
You're like a mass.
You're like a bug. Like infesting.
And you're like that word to me, I feel like.
Like armies, forces, fine.
Yeah.
But hordes. And then to say betraying your race instead of just like betraying your
Is that
country.
Supposed to be like, you know, when sometimes narrators will say something and it's like supposed to be, it's a third person narrator, but they're saying it kind of in a way that's like to the other Christians, he's betraying his race.
Well, the problem is this is Sita's thought.
Oh, yeah. We're in Sita's mind.
That's where the problem is. This isn't him. This isn't Dr.
Right.
Stoon.
And this isn't just like a completely removed narrator that's like, oh, well, you know, quote, betraying his race type thing.
So it's not. It's not like he invited Muslim forces to invade Italy to like unleash chaos or mm-hmm. to tip the scales or to this or to that.
Also, was
it's
he like
betraying race? And that's like very problematic phrasing.
I also, I think it would have been more helpful too to understand exactly what was happening. If there was like, was there a treaty that he was like breaking? Was there like any kind of accord that he was violating by doing this? Like, is it just that by virtue of him being.
Don't invite people over who are going to try to annex some of your bedrooms.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also like during some of the history stuff, some of the stuff I didn't get. And I just like kept going because I wanted to get more to the CETA stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I did like not really understand a lot of like what exactly was happening.
I think I looked it up and I don't remember. Because like I said, right after I finished 5.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't wait.
Read all the way through.
Uh-huh. And then I have to stop talking so my phone recognizes my face. Here we go. Muslim invasion of Sicily. The Muslim conquest of Sicily began in June 827 and lasted until 902 when the last major Byzantine stronghold on the island, Taormina, fell. Isolated fortresses. Island was henceforth under Muslim rule until conquered in turn by the Normans in the 11th century.
The Normans?
Yeah. France. Well,
France. Mm-hmm. Normandy.
Yeah.
I see. Is it spelled Norman or Normand?
Norman, like the name.
And what is their religious affiliation, Normans?
Christian.
Yeah. Is it Catholic or Christian?
Catholic. Oh, everything was Pope.
Everything's Pope, right? Because this is before Protestantism.
Everything's Pope.
And this is before Protestantism?
Yeah, quite a bit before.
Because like, that was started with Luther, Henry right? VIII. Where he's like, hammer, hammer, hammer. Here's my list of things I don't like about you, church. Wasn't that him, Martin Luther?
Yeah, when did that happen? We know nothing about Christianity.
I remember learning about this in a... Okay, so this was 1507. He's ordained to priesthood. And then when is this stuff occurring?
827, I think.
Okay, so this is long after.
Yes, yeah, so
okay,
it was okay, definitely okay. Catholicism.
Yeah,
and
so
then the Church of England, though.
Is
Martin
that...
Luther was German?
Yes.
So Church of England founded 1534. That's Episcopal?
Church of England?
Yeah.
That's different, yeah. And then this is the start of Protestantism, is Martin Luther.
Anglican.
He insisted on Christian or evangelical.
Yeah.
Luther did. But basically he...
And it was... The Church of England was shaped by some of the doctrinal principles of the 16th century Protestant Reformation.
So that was after. So that's after Martin Luther did his thing.
When was Martin Luther? No, I think eventually
When he wrote to protest the sale of indulgences,
uh-huh.
which was, for those of you who aren't familiar, it was like you could donate enough money basically to the Catholic Church and they would be like, okay, that's absolved. So you'd like write what
you're
saying.
Pay to get your sins.
Yeah, you'd pay. And basically like that's how the church raised money.
Fucking A.
So Luther was like, this is corrupt. I don't like it.
This is not cool.
He's like, ew, I hate that.
Gross.
So he wrote Disputation of Martin Luther on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences in 1517.
Okay, so yeah, that happened before. This was 1534.
Okay. So he nails it on the
definitely
door
Catholic.
Of the All Saints Church in Wittenberg on 1517, October 31st.
And that's why we have Halloween.
So guess what? Yeah, that's why. Because of Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I've created Lutherans.
So there's a bunch of scholars who actually contend the story of posting it on the door because it has little foundation in truth. They just say, oh, well, it's something that a lot of people do believe, but he probably didn't nail it to the door.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
But that's fine. I don't really care. Within 2 weeks, copies of his theses had spread throughout Germany. Within 2 months, they'd spread throughout Europe. Wow. That is fast.
It's like the original viral meme.
Playing Twitter. Wow. He was like legit famous. Wow. I bet you he got
I
so
have, like,
much
a poster
tail.
Of him on the wall in my bedroom.
He was a teen dream, Martin Luther.
I'm like Clara on Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor changing to the 12th Doctor when she brags about having had a poster of Marcus Aurelius on her wall to say she is not superficial.
Okay.
I hate that moment.
I have not seen that moment.
It's like me saying, I don't even care about looks. Like when I was a teenager, I had a poster of Martin Luther on my wall. Yeah, exactly.
I just showed Lindsay a picture. Yeah. He's not that cute.
Hey guys, wanted to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about our sponsor for this week's episode, BetterHelp.com. These teens in our books are always facing such traumatic issues. Are you feeling traumatized because your boyfriend might be a ghost? Are you having trouble unpacking the thoughts that you have about your best friend trying to steal your life? Are you a twin? Period. What's standing between you and your happiness? It might be you. Are your own feelings a roadblock preventing you from achieving your goals? Have you thought about talking to someone, but you're uncertain or unsure of where to start? BetterHelp.com online counseling is there for you. BetterHelp makes it easy to connect with licensed professional counselors, caring professionals, specializing in the issues that you want to talk about. Depression, stress and anxiety, trauma, grief, self-esteem, ghost boyfriend, twin. Connect with your counselor in a safe and private environment. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. Schedule secure video and phone sessions or text your therapist, all included worldwide, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option, and for Teen Creeps listeners, you get 10% off your first month with discount code TEENCREEPS. If you've been wanting to talk, get started today. Go to betterhelp.com/teencreeps. Simply fill out the questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love, one that you can always change. That's betterhelp.com/teencreeps. Promo code TEENCREEPS.
Okay, religious figures. Who is hottest? So there's Martin Luther. Okay, so we have Martin Luther.
He's number one.
Who else is someone? Who's the Pope during that time?
During which time? The time in the book?
Yeah, Pope. Pope, what year?
Pope. Hang on.
Pope Leo III. He's from 747 to 814. Let's look at him. Ew. Ugh. Okay, ready? Oh, you can totally tell that like some of his commissioned paint, some of his commissioned paintings are like way hotter than some of the other ones. Okay, so there's this one.
Okay.
Where he looks like kind of like
Father Christmas
a little bit, but with like tonsure, which is the thing where they shave just the center of their head to force them to be humble. And then there's like this one, which is like,
he's giving major eye roll.
Yeah. And he's like not cute at all.
I would choose the other one to put on my wall.
The one where he looks kind of like a mix of Father Christmas and God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Catholicism and Muslims and uncool phrasing.
Yeah.
But so that description of why she's afraid of Lord Landulf is so much more frightening than the actual experience of being around Lord Landulf.
I thought we were going to be in a messed up blood fuck den.
Yes, exactly.
But we were there for a blood fuck den.
Yeah. But like not enough of a blood fuck den.
Not enough at all. Like I thought it was gonna be like or like a longer period of it being kind of like creepy scary when you're in the castle. Like who was that woman that murdered a bunch of her maids and like tried to take baths in their blood to stay young?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. And I saw a very stupid, low budget horror movie made in like Wisconsin about this.
Nice.
Paul something directed it. Friend of mine through work, Toby, loves this director.
Elizabeth Bathory. Or I think it's also pronounced Battery, I think. Yeah. She's the Blood Countess.
I have to go.
Okay. Okay. So, I definitely thought there would be.
I think there just wasn't enough description, and like I was starting, because like under me with unlike me with my brilliant work on Empire High, my novel that we are reading for our Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patrons,
which we're recording some more later today, and I can't wait.
And I absolutely can. I am constantly describing where people are absolutely. In a room.
We know where everyone is at all times.
At all times.
At all times.
However, in this situation, I was getting pretty fuzzy on where everyone was and kind of what was happening.
Also, like when she and this may have been intentional, but like when she's in the castle, I was like. I had no idea of like the structure or like where the rooms were or where she was or where like where anything was. I did not know.
Yeah. She's in like a dungeon.
Oh, the sex blood dungeon.
Okay. Maybe I was just zoning out a little because like things are jumping out at me and I'm like, that sounds like kind of crazy.
Well, so so there is one part that is crazy, and it's when she goes to dinner, right? So she comes in and she's like, hey, I want to meet Landolf. And there's like a woman there and she's like, oh, I'm Lady Landolf. And she's like,
Lady Sia.
Tai-tai, Licia. And Licia's like, and Lisa's like, come to dinner. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. So she comes in and she's like, I guess I was maybe imagining that smell of like rotting bodies because like this seems pretty normal. She's eating the food. She goes to her. They're like, oh, why don't you retire in this room that you have our hospitality? You can rest there. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay. And she like starts to go to bed and she's like, I feel whack.
Yeah. She's like, oh, snap. They drugged me. Should have seen that coming.
Poison.
Poison.
And then it's like knock, knock, knock on the door. And it's like that maid and the maid's Marie. Like, I'm Marie. I'm here to take care of you. And she's like,
bitch, no, you ain't.
She's like, tell me. And she's like, no, I am here to take care of you. She's like, tell me. And she's like, I'm here to take care of you. She's like, tell me. And she's like, I'm here to kill you.
Like, I'm here to check up on you because I know you were drugged.
So she's like, take me. She's like, first, I'm going to barf a little bit. Then I'm going to drink some water. Then you're going to take me down to where the sacrifice is.
And she's like,
so they go. They go down there. The maid is making that noise the whole time.
Yes.
And she's like,
here's since I happen to be on that exact description.
Yes.
And this is why I'm like, oh, maybe I just like wasn't paying that much attention because this does sound pretty fucked up. Blah, blah, blah. Into a tunnel, way is hot, stone, wire mesh. We've reached the grills from which we can peer down at what is to be. The ceremony is about to begin. We are directly above the altar. It is circular, surrounded on all sides by rows of pews that lead up and back to 100 feet. There are approximately 600 people present. Each person wears a red robe, except for a few soldiers at the doors who have metal breastplates and helmets. The altar is black and polished. It appears to be made of marble. Inlaid is a silver pentagram. The five tips of the stars dissect the room into five sections. Landolf sits on the floor with his wife. He is the only one wearing a black robe, and I can't help but notice the small silver knife resting in his lap. And then, like, blah, 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 candles, blah, 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 rites, everybody singing, Catholic mass, but they've started
they're singing it backwards. That's right.
Ooh, everything they are doing is backward. He cuts himself. Their voices are beautiful. 40 minutes, the twisted mass ends. A wooden cross is brought out by soldiers. Blah, 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 center of the pentagram. Clad in a white robe, a bound female is carried out next. Her mouth is tied. She cannot cry out, but I see it as one of the girls I thought I had saved.
Because she saves this group of girls that are like going to be taken into the castle.
Yeah. And then he crucifies the woman.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds pretty fucked up.
No, there is like some fucked up stuff, but I just thought there would be more.
Yeah.
Because there's pretty much only one scene.
There's a lot of fucked up stuff we've seen in Sita's life.
Yeah.
But Sita can't help. Oh, no, no, no. Sita cries out because Marie stabs her.
Right.
And Marie licks the knife like a fucking creeper.
She's like sucking on the wound because she's like, oh, I got to get that blood in me.
Yeah. And she just knows. She's just heard that it's like magic.
That's good blood. Magic blood.
But she doesn't understand how it works.
Yeah. So she's drinking the blood. And then Landolf is like pissed at her because he's like, that's my blood.
Yeah. And then they fall and land inside the... Whatchamacallit, the pentagram.
Yeah. And then Marie's like head explodes because she falls on her head.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you're here. It was my plan all along. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, and then she like fades out. Mm-hmm. And then she wakes up and she's in.
Then she's just in a dungeon.
Yeah. She's in the dungeon.
They
with
whip.
Dante.
This sounds like standard Sita shit.
This honestly is like Romancing the Stone shit. Like this is like, like
Like, she could do this with her eyes closed.
Yeah.
She's, like, crucified, not with nails, but, like, tied.
And then, like, the way they hold her up
there
is, like, it's supposed to slowly suffocate you.
Yeah.
Dante's there. She's able to break them out.
And then she goes back.
So she, like, she's like, Dante, do you know a way out? And Dante's like, yes, I have, like, I know a secret tunnel. So then she's like, okay, let's go out. And she's like, you go out to the pond where we were earlier. We'll meet there. Promise me you will not follow me. And Dante's like, yes, 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 I won't follow you. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go try and kill Landolf. And she's like, I remember that he's going to be, like, on this hill doing this super magic that I have to stop.
Yeah, in some kind of circle.
So, okay, was it, like, concentric circles? Was it, like, a circle of power that was protecting him and then another circle that she was going to go through? I didn't really understand this part.
Clean, wipes her clean when she's in the dungeon. She finds out that he knows the future as well.
Dante?
No, Landolf.
Yes, yes, yes. Because he's kind of set it up differently.
Bring Dante. Yeah, so...
So last time in the past, she approached him.
She got
him
in the circle. And he demands a sacrifice.
Yeah.
For her to come in the circle to try to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And previously she used Lady Sia.
Yes. But she gets there. Lady Sia is already on the ground. He's holding Lady Sia's heart. And she's like, oh, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do?
He's like, bitch, you got
Jamie Kennedy experimented.
Yeah, sure.
You got punked.
You got scooped.
Scooped. She's like, you got scooped. And she's like, what? And he's like, there's that girl that you thought you saved. Another one of those girls. You can sacrifice her. And she's like, I can't. And then there's like all this noise in her head.
Like throbbing in her head.
And it won't stop.
Until she kills the woman.
And she does. And she's like, fuck, I didn't want to do that. And then she goes through and then... like basically like rips his head off his body and then she like throws it into a ravine or something or like off a cliff.
I think she just stabs him, but I'm not remembering very well.
She might not. She takes off somebody's head. It might not be his.
Oh, here we go. Path, blah, blah, blah. Another pentagram. This five-pointed star appears to have been drawn by blood and there's something red and slimy in his hands. It's his wife's heart. Blue stone circle, blue pentagram, blue. Yeah, so it's another of the women who she tried to save. He says it was necessary. Whoops, I lost my place. That's fine. You get the point.
Right.
So she's completed at this point two steps. See, I told you there is a
people are crazy right now.
Energy in the air today. People be driving badly.
We just heard a little beep, beep and a screech.
So she's completed two steps of the initiation somehow.
Yeah, she kills that. Oh, because she
kills the girl to enter the circle.
Yeah. What's the second? Is the first thing she does earlier?
Maybe
when she goes and
She willingly goes there.
Yeah. Maybe. Or she like willingly. She willingly goes there and she like falls on the pentagram at the beginning.
But yeah, the second step is killing the girl to get in the circle.
And then the third step is going to be give him the blood by
of her own free will.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, I'm not going to do that. She's like, done. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to the pond where she's like, oh, shit, he didn't get out.
Well, what's interesting is she kills Lord Landolf with one of the nails that was used to crucify Christ.
That's interesting.
Yeah. She like mind melds with the bits of like the atoms of the blood still in the nail.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was the sword or no, I think it's the nail.
Is it the, no, I think it might be that sword. It's the spear with the tip. Remember? She's like, there's blood on the tip, but there is something important
that
with the nail.
I think because she touched the sword and like felt the intense, like positive vibrations on the spear. Then she knew that the nail would also have it and that she could like mind meld with it. So she asks to be near the nail, and like a fucking idiot.
Why did he do that?
Well, although he wants her to do everything, he knows that this is pointless. Yeah. He's a lackey.
Yeah, he's not the real
Landulf. Lord Landulf.
Lord Landulf.
So that she like then mind melds with the blood and like moves it with her mind the way she was able to move stuff in the 20th century and literally nails him in the head.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, she nails him in the head and she's like, that fool's dead. So then she leaves and she's like, oh, fuck. Dante wasn't able to get out because Landulf like used telekinesis to like push a rock down on the tunnel. So he can't get out. Luckily, doesn't matter. Dante's like, there was another tunnel. He comes out.
Whatever.
And he's like, and she's like, all right, I'm going to do something for you to heal your wounds because they're all fucked up.
Yeah. Because he only has like a day or two to live because he's so wasted.
And also like fake Landulf like cauterized his wounds, but too much. And it was like burning his bones. That part was fucked up.
Oh, that's probably also had a huge impact on why she hated that time. Because she was like thinking that this person she loved was being tortured because of her.
So then she's like, well, he's not long for this world. So I'm going to sprinkle my blood on his wounds and he'll be healed. And then as she's going to the pond.
She had earlier been remembering an opera called Percival.
Yes.
Which is about the Crusades.
I was actually just looking at that on my
Knights Templar phone.
Yeah, it's called. So, yes. And she was remembering that there's. What was it?
There's a character in it.
It's also by Wagner, isn't it?
Maybe.
Yeah, she says it is.
Oh, a cool thing about Dante, and I guess then Lord Landulf, is when she saves Dante from the people taunting him when they first meet. She's like about to kill the guy and the guy says, I don't want to die. And then Dante says the line that Sita takes and says all the time, which is, then you should never have been born.
Yeah.
So that's a Dante line.
So Parsifal is an opera in three acts by German composer Richard Wagner, Nazi. it is loosely based on Parsifal by Wolfram von Eisenbach.
The joke of Wagner, Nazi.
Yeah. A 13th century epic poem of the Arthurian knight Percival and his quest for the Holy Grail.
So not a Knight Templar.
No. So this is basically, let's see, synopsis. Whoa, things are going nuts outside. There really is some kind of energy. I bet
it crashed or something. They're truly, something is in the air. People are not driving well today.
I think it's because they're like unused to the freedom of like no rain.
Maybe.
They're like, whoa, I'm crazy.
Maybe.
Okay, so the oldest knight of the Grail, he wakes up his young squires. He's like, let's pray. Then he sees Amfortas, which is the king of the Grail Knights, and his entourage coming up. He's like, oh my God, Amfortas has been injured by his own holy spear and the wound won't heal. Then they sing. Then the eldest knight of the Grail again. He asks the lead knight. He's like, what is the king's health? The knight says the king has suffered. He's going to bathe in the holy lake.
Oh, shit.
The squires are like, how can the king's injury be healed? But he's like, I'm not going to answer that right now. Then a wild woman, Kundry, she bursts in the door. She's like, here's some balsam in a vial to ease the king's pain.
Oh,
and then she falls over.
Very Sita.
Yes. So then she's like, I'm tired. She falls over. Amfortas arrives, the king. He's on a stretcher. He's like, I need Gawain, whose attempt at relieving his pain had failed. Everyone's like, dude, Gawain left. He's trying to find a better remedy. So then the king's like, fine. He's like, you know, going off without leave is the kind of thing that leads you into Klingsor's realm and to his downfall. I don't know who Klingsor is.
Klingsor is the Lord Landulf character.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So then he's like, fine, give me the potion. He tries to thank Kundry. She answers abruptly and that thanks is not going to help. And she urges him to his bath. Then everybody leaves. The squires look at Kundry with mistrust and they're like, yo, what? And she's like, shut up. And then stops talking. Then the elderly, like the old Knights Templar guy,
Knights Templar. Early.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Right? He's a Grail Knight.
Yeah.
So the oldest Grail Knight is like, guys, can we have a sidebar here? He's like, listen, Kundry often helps the Grail Knights, but she comes and goes unpredictably. And then he's like, why don't you ever stay to help? And she's like, I never help. So the squires are like, she's a witch. If she does so much, why doesn't she just go find the Holy Spirit? And then Gurnemanz, who is the king, he's like, no, no, no. This deed is destined for someone else. So then he's like, you know what? Gurnemanz is the oldest Grail Knight.
Okay.
So he's like, this deed is for someone else. The king was given guardianship of the spear, but he lost it because he was seduced by an irresistibly attractive woman in Klingzor's domain. Klingzor grabbed the spear and stabbed the king. The wound causes the king both suffering and shame and will never heal on its own. So that is Klingzor is Landolf, who's the king. That's himself, maybe?
The king is kind of Sita-ish.
Okay, the squire.
But also, the book doesn't say that Sita is in this tale.
No.
This reminds Sita of Landolf.
So then the squires come back. They're like, the king, he's not suffering so much because the balsam helps. So then they're like, The squires are like, how does the king know Klingzor? And he's like, guess what? The Holy Spear, which pierced the side of the Redeemer on the cross. Is that Jesus?
Yeah.
And the Holy Grail, which caught the flowing blood, came to Montsalvat to be guarded by the Knights of the Grail under the rule of the father of the king. And Klingzor wanted to join the Knights, but he was not able to keep impure thoughts from his mind. So he resorted to self-castration, which caused him to be expelled from the order.
And that's how Sita realizes that Dante is the real Lord Landolf because he was castrated.
Because he did it to himself. Then Klingzor set himself up in opposition to the realm of the Grail. He learns the dark arts. He claims the valley domain below and fills it with beautiful flower maidens to seduce and enthrall wayward Grail knights. It was here that the king lost the Holy Spear, and it's being kept by Klingzor as he schemes to. Oh, because she's like, oh, the spear mm-hmm. is right there on the fucking wall.
Yeah.
So then the oldest of the Grail Knights tells how the king later has a holy vision, which told him to wait for a pure fool enlightened by compassion who will finally heal the wound. And that is Sita, because she does that out of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Then the knights are like, whoa, what? And then a flying swan is shot, and then a young man is brought forth. He's got a bow in his hand and a quiver of matching arrows. The oldest of the squire guys is like, you know what? You shouldn't be shooting swans because this is a holy place. Have you been shooting the swan? And the lad is like, if it flies, I can hit it. Literally.
Okay.
Ein Flugtreff, ich was fliegt. I don't know German, so I'm sorry for that pronunciation. So then the head of the squire knights is like, the swan's a holy animal. What harm has the swan done to you? Look at its lifeless body. The young man's like, oh, fuck, man. I killed it. He breaks his bow. He throws it to the side.
Maybe that's Sita.
Yeah, maybe that's Sita.
Or maybe that's Yaksha.
So then the head of the Squire Knights, again, he's like, why are you here? Who's your dad? How did you find this place? And lastly, what is your name? Then the lad keeps saying, I don't know, to everything. He's like, I don't know. So then
this opera is all over the place.
This is crazy. Like, why did this guy even come in? So then that knight guy,
like, what is Klingzor even up to at this point?
I know he's like not even on the page yet. Real he's not sidebar. On stage. So then the elder knight, he's like, squires, go away. I need to talk to him privately. Go help the king. And then he's like, no, tell me what you do know. The young man's like, listen, I've got a mom, Herzelade, and I made the bow myself. Kundry has been hiding. She's listening to the whole thing. And she's like, guess what? I know who the dad is. He's Gamoret, a knight killed in battle. And the lad's mother forbid her son to use a sword because she was afraid he was going to die in battle too. So now the youth is like, oh, you know, upon seeing the knights pass through this forest, I did leave my home and my mother to follow you. Kundry's like, ha ha ha. As you rode by, I saw your mom die of grief. And he's like, what?
That's cold.
He like tries to lunge at Kundry, but then he falls over and he's just crying. He's like, I'm so sad. Kundry now, she's like, I'm sleepy. But then she's like, I can't sleep though. I wish I never.
I think this is Sita.
Maybe Kundry?
I think, yeah. And I think the bow and arrow guy is Yaksha. killing all those swans for fun. And then
he feels bad.
And then Krishna's like, don't do that. And he's like, oh, I feel really bad now.
Yes. So then, so he falls over. He's like, ugh. And Kundry's like, I'm sleepy, but I can't sleep. She's like, I wish I never would wake up. Then she just like goes into the undergrowth.
And that's Sita choosing to just die and never become a vampire.
Which is what she does.
Which is what she does.
So then the...
Because right after... So just a brief to say the end of the book. After Sita figures it out, because she finally remembers the part about Klingsor being castrated, and that's how she finally realizes it's Dante. She's like, cool, time to go back to the future. But she like... Because she got there with her mind in the spaceship, she goes, you know what? I'm actually going to go to the past. And when my dad gives me the knife to be like, go ahead and kill the demon inside your best friend's body, instead of hesitating and not doing it, this time she's like, no problem, stabs it, never any yaksha. She doesn't become a vampire. She lives happily ever after with Rama and Lalita, and Seymour still has AIDS.
Yeah.
And has been taking down her whole story. That's who's been writing it.
Yeah. And, fuck, who's the like all-knowing one that she knows? The
Alondra?
No, like the guy that comes to visit her and he's like, are you happy?
Krishna.
Thank you. Name escaping me. Rapture Krishna.
Rapture Krishna.
He's like, hey, are you happy? And she's like, yes. And he's like, that's all I want to know. And she's like, that's weird. She's and like, he's oh, like, goodbye.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Oh, and that's why I'm like, how the fuck are there more books?
Yeah. Anyway. I wonder what happens. Anyway.
Very curious.
I'm going to make us listen to this whole
thing. No, please do. I'm enthralled.
So Kundry runs off. So then that old Squire Knight guy, he's like, the Grail only draws the pious to Montsalvat. So, hey, kid, come observe the Grail rite. The youth doesn't know what the Grail is, but he's like, man, I really can't feel like I'm even moving, but like, I feel like I'm moving a lot. And then the guy's like, you know what? In this realm, time becomes space. Then they sing again for 4 minutes. Then they all arrive at the Hall of the Grail. The knights are assembling. They're going to get...
are very weird.
Very weird. So they're like, let's go to the Holy Grail and we're going to get, or I'm sorry, the Hall of the Grail. We're going to receive Holy Communion. Zum Leitzen liebe Schmale. Titrol, the voice.
The song.
Who's Titrol?
I do not know.
Okay. Well, anyway, his voice. Oh, he's the king. He's the father of the king. So his voice comes out and he's telling his son, Amfortas the king, who's sick right now, to uncover the Grail. Amfortas is like, fuck, I'm so shameful and I'm really suffering. I'm the guardian of these holy relics, but I succumbed to temptation and I lost the spear. He's like, I'm unworthy. And he's like, please, forgiveness. But he only hears the promise that he will one day be redeemed by the pure fool. So then the youth, hearing the king cry, he's like clutching at his heart and he's like, oh my God, you're crying and I'm crying. you're gonna cry and then I'm gonna cry. So then the knights and the voice of the king's dad are like, Amfortas, just reveal the Grail. And he's like,
fine.
And he does. The dark hall then is like bathed in light as of the Grail.
So maybe that's Sita. Sita, the Grail is her blood.
Mm.
Or her love.
Her love?
Or her sacrifice.
But then they don't even really do anything with the Grail. But
like, at no point in this book is it implied that Sita's entire story is this opera, just that's Landolf.
Yeah, I know.
I keep trying to fit. But there are elements where I'm like, oh, maybe this is also the series.
Yeah, there are.
I don't know.
So then they're like all eating. And, I guess that's what they call communion. They're just like eating in the presence of the Grail. But then Amfortas doesn't eat anything. And neither does the youth. And then the king falls over in pain and he's carried away. Then the hall empties and it's only the young man and the old Squire Knight. And the old Squire Knight's like, young man, do you understand what you saw? And the young guy's like, I don't know.
And then everyone in the audience is like, I don't know.
Yeah, everyone's like, I don't get it.
I don't, what?
Then the Squire Knight's like, you're a fool. Go leave here and hunt geese if you must, but leave the swans alone.
I'm sorry, do we not remember the part about how we need a young fool?
Then a voice from high above repeats the promise, the pure fool enlightened by compassion. Then they sing for 2 to 3 minutes.
Good.
Then we're in Klingsor's magic castle. Finally, we're with Klingsor.
Ooh.
Klingsor conjures
like
up
like a Discovery Zone type play place from the 90s.
God. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Klingsor conjures up Kundry. He wakes her up from sleep. He calls her many names. First, he's like first sorceress.
Oh my God, it is Sita. He conjured her from the future.
Oh my God. This is a really cool name. Hell's Rose.
Hell yeah.
Herodias, Gundrygia, and lastly, Kundry. She's then transformed into an incredibly alluring woman as when she once seduced Amfortas. She mocks Klingsor's mutilated condition by sarcastically inquiring if he's chaste, but she can't resist his power. Klingsor observes that Parsifal is approaching and summons his enchanted knights to fight the boy. Klingsor watches as Parsifal overcomes his knights and they flee. Klingsor wishes destruction on their whole race. Then he sees this young man stray into his flower maiden garden. He calls to Kundry. He's like, hey, go seduce that guy. But when he turns, he sees that Kundry's already left. Then the triumphant youth. So I think this is still the fool, right?
Yeah.
He's in this beautiful garden. Oh my God. There's these beautiful flower maidens. They're calling to him.
Who is Parsifal then?
I think this is the fool.
Why are they
calling him a different name?
Why are they being so confusing?
Is it him? Okay, so they're calling to him. They're like, come on, get with me. Then they're like fighting with each other to
come
get
on,
his devotion.
Let's do it.
Oh my God. So they're fighting so much that he's like, ooh, I gotta go. Then a voice calls out, Parsifal. He now recalls this name is what his mother called him when she appeared in his dreams. This is the fool. The flower maidens back away from him and they're like, you fool. And they leave him in Kundry alone. Parsifal's like, is this a dream? And then he asks, Kundry, how do you know my name? Kundry's like, I learned it from your mother who loved you and tried to shield you from your father's fate. The mother you abandoned and died of grief. She's like, I'm going to tell you all these secrets about your life. And then she tells it all. And he's crying and he's like, I'm the one to blame for my mom's life. He's like, I'm so stupid that I forgot all this stuff. Kundry's like, look, this realization is the first sign of understanding. With a kiss, I can help you understand your mother's love, which, ew. So then he kisses her. And then he's like, ow, Amfortas. And he's like, oh my God, I feel the wounded king's pain burning in my own side. And now I understand his passion during the Grail ceremony. That's why he was like crying out, filled with this compassion. He's like, get the fuck away from me. And he pushes Kundry away. She's all pissed off. She's like, fuck, this didn't work. Kundry tells Parsifal that, listen, if you can feel compassion for Amfortas, you better feel it for me. I've been cursed for centuries. I'm unable to rest because I saw Christ on the cross and I laughed at his pain.
Definitely, now, Sita.
Interesting. Yeah.
She turned away from like mortality and humanity or whatever.
Now I can't cry. I can only jeer and I'm enslaved to Klingsor. Parsifal's like, get away from me, but also lead me to Amfortas. She's like, please just stay with me for 1 hour and then I'll take you to Amfortas. He's like, no, get away from me. And she's like, fine, I curse you. You never get to find the kingdom of the Grail. Master Klingsor, help me. Klingsor appears, throws the spear at Parsifal, but it stops in midair above his head. Parsifal takes it, makes the sign of the cross with it. The castle crumbles. The enchanted garden withers. Parsifal leaves and he's like, Kundry, you know where to find me. Then
or
they sing.
Parsifal is Sita.
Interesting.
And Kundry is
Dante's
face.
Yeah. So then it's the same as the opening of the opera, the Domain of the Grail, but it's many years later. The old Squire King, he's all aged and bent over. It's Good Friday. He hears moaning near his hermit's hut. Kundry's over there in the bush. He revives her using water
fucking
from the holy
Jerry.
Spring. But she'll only say the word serve. He's like, what? Does this mean? Why are you showing up today of all days? He looks in the forest. He sees a figure approaching that's armed and in full armor. He's wearing a helmet so you can't see who it is. The old man squire is like, you better not be armed today. This is sanctified ground and a holy day. But the apparition doesn't say anything and it just removes the helmet. And then he's like, oh my God.
Klingsor.
No, you're what? The guy who shot the swan.
What?
Yeah. So he's like, you're the guy who shot the swan.
Oh, Parsifal.
Parsifal. And he's like, oh, but he doesn't know his name is Parsifal. So he's like, you're that guy. And he's like, oh, you have the Holy Spear. Parsifal's like, look, I wanted to come back to the king. I had a long journey. I wandered around for years. I couldn't find the path back to the Grail.
Sita.
I was always forced to fight, but I never wielded the spear in battle.
Sita.
The old squire guy is like, the curse has been lifted, but in your absence, the king has never unveiled the Grail, and the lack of its sustaining properties caused the death of the king's dad. So then Percival's like, oh my God, again, it's my fault again. And the old guy's like, today is the king's dad's funeral, and you've got some work to do. So then Kundry washes his feet, and the squire guy anoints him with water from the holy spring.
Operas are so long.
This is so long. He recognizes him as the pure fool. He's like, oh my God, you're enlightened by compassion. You're the new king of the Knights of the Grail. And Percival's like, what a beautiful meadow. And the squire guy is like, today's Good Friday. The whole world's renewed. So then Percival's like, you know what? While I'm here, I'm going to baptize Kundry. So then all the bells are ringing. Everyone's like, yay. All three of them set off for the Castle of the Grail. More music. Then they reach the Castle of the Grail. Amfortas, the king of the Grail, is like, he's brought out before the Grail shrine and his dad's coffin. He's like, Dad, grant me rest from my sufferings and I want to join you in death. Yikes.
Okay, Percival is Sita. Kundry?
Kundry?
She is Sita's vampire nature.
Mm.
Continue.
The Knights of the Grail are like, Amfortas, quit with this. Just show us where the Grail is. And he's like, I will never. So he's like, kill me and my suffering and the shame I brought on the knighthood. Then Percival steps forward and he's like, only one weapon can heal the wound. He touches Amfortas's side with the spear and both heals and absolves him. Percival commands the unveiling of the Grail. Everyone kneels. Kundry, released from her curse, sinks lifeless to the ground as a white dove descends and hovers above Percival. The end.
Yeah. She kills her vampire nature because she got lost on the path.
Mm-hmm.
And then Krishna comes. He's like, you happy? And she's like, yeah, look at this dove over my head. I'm great.
Yep. I think that's it. I think we know how that
I think that's entire opera. Like what Christopher Pike had in mind from the start.
We talked more about what happened in that opera than what happened in the
I think so. Because you read the entire thing.
Listen, I'm sorry for what I did, but it had to be done.
It had to be done.
It had to be done.
You know what? I want to hear a song from Percival.
It's going to be long.
Just like a bit.
Okay.
Just like a minute.
Okay.
Do you have an aux chord? All right, maybe like the last one.
Oh, like the victory song.
Yeah. Might just be the music.
This has got to be mostly male singers.
Well, I'm seeing names. There we go.
Why do they sound so far away?
Oh, all of the whole opera takes place in a hole. Whatever, you fucking Nazi. It's
fucking Nazi opera.
Fucking Nazi music. Nazi. That's how I just dismiss operas. Whatever, you fucking Nazi music.
Okay.
So that was Last Vampire 6, Creatures of Forever.
At the end, when she just gets to finally live like
A human life.
You know what it reminded me of? Like, it was a similar feeling of when we were reading behind the scenes at the museum for our Patreon.
Yeah.
in like there's so many different timelines that you follow and so many of them are really sad.
Yeah.
And then when you read that one where that one woman just has like a good life and you're like, oh, fuck, she just got to live a good life.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, where it was just like, she gets to just be happy for once.
Yeah. And it feels like she loses something because it's like, oh, well, she was like so powerful and superhuman and lived such a long, she lived for 5,000 years.
Yeah, that's so long.
So it feels like living just a normal human life where she probably died at like 50 feels sad, but she got to experience complete happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked this book, even though a couple times, like once I was like, ooh, and then like a couple times I was like, I don't know what's happening. But I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
And I am so curious about Thirst.
Me too. What the fuck?
What could it be? What could it be?
This is madness.
Ugh. Wow.
She never became a vampire, and Seymour like maybe dies of AIDS.
Yeah.
Sad. Or maybe is kept alive through medication. Maybe that's something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
If you guys are reading along with us, you don't have to, but we will be reading Amnesia by Sinclair Smith.
Ah, yes.
It's going to be very fun. So if you're reading along, that is what we will be reading. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at Teen Creeps Pod on everything.
If you care to support the podcast with more than your ears, you can donate to us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/teencreeps. We really appreciate the help that you give there in producing the podcast.
Yeah. So we'll thank you so much for listening, and we'll check with you next week.
Keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
Hey guys, as you know, this episode was brought to you by BetterHelp.com. Are you tired of writing in your diary that's actually a ghost that's talking to you through the mirror and wants to steal your body? Well, now you can talk to real professionals. BetterHelp.com helps you figure out how to get you to your happiness, how to talk to someone even if you're uncertain or unsure of where to start. BetterHelp.com online counseling is there for you. BetterHelp makes it easy to connect with licensed professional counselors, caring professionals specializing in the issues that you want to talk about. Depression, stress and anxiety, trauma, grief, self-esteem, ghost diary people that want to steal your body. Connect with your counselor in a safe and private environment. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. Schedule secure video and phone sessions or text your therapist, all included, worldwide, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option, and for Teen Creeps listeners, you can get 10% off your first month with discount code TEENCREEPS. If you've been wanting to talk to someone other than a ghost that lives in your diary and also your mirror, go to BetterHelp.com/TEENCREEPS. Simply fill out the questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love, one that you can always change. That's BetterHelp.com/TEENCREEPS. Promo code TEENCREEPS.